Calgary Stampeders and Hamilton Tiger Cats, part of Week 14 action in the CFL. That game goes tomorrow at 2 p.m. from McMahon, probably your marquee matchup in Week 14. But the other two games this week, pretty interesting as well, including a very interesting and somewhat contentious return to BC for Red Black starting quarterback Jonathan Jennings. Welcome back to the program. Pat Steinberg along with you now, our CFL insider Jeff Creever from CFL.ca. And Creever, appreciated as always. Jonathan Jennings gets the start again. This time, though, he goes up against the team that he started his CFL career with, the BC Lions, in Vancouver tonight. And that was not the most harmonious exit from BC. It was actually pretty acrimonious. There were some things said in the media on both sides. And I'm really interested to see what Jennings has for the Lions tonight, knowing, I think, how upset he was about how his tenure there came to an end.
This is drama. This is a soap opera. It's energy. I'm excited for this game, you know, and you can't help but pull for the kid. Things didn't go as his first time in charge as a quarterback in BC. Now he gets a chance to go in there and throw it back in their face and prove them wrong and get the Ottawa Redblacks a win. You nailed it with Ed Hervey and everything that happened there. Ed Hervey calling him out with his agent and the back and forth. And when those things leak into the media and become public, it's really beyond the point of even contention because you know that these things can happen behind closed doors. But this was beyond a closed door meeting. This wasn't just Ed Hervey saying straight up to Jonathan Jennings, hey, we need you to work harder. There was a public bit of prodding here. I don't know if it was a motivational tactic. We've seen it before from Hervey when he was in Edmonton with the Eskimos. But yeah, for Jonathan Jennings, this game means everything. The whirlwind of emotions for a quarterback getting his second opportunity to succeed after things went so wrong, that's a storyline that plays into this game. He's going to have to control those emotions and harness them for the best and do something really big tonight.
I thought Jennings looked okay in his first start back with the Red Blacks. He started earlier this year, but then went back to Dominique Davis, who's now hurt, and Jennings started against Toronto. I thought he was one of the lone bright spots in Ottawa's loss to Toronto last week, so we'll see what he can do now against the remaining one-win team in the CFL, the BC Lions. And we had an interesting debate over at CFL.ca as Ferg and I went back and forth on one of our columns about who has a better chance of reclaiming their career, Jennings or James Franklin in Toronto. Now, Jennings has the opportunity in front of him. Franklin doesn't, with the way McLeod Bethel-Thompson is playing for the Argos. But you know, I argued for Franklin. That was where I came in, and Marshall argued for Jennings. Where do you come in on that debate, knowing that both those guys have been pretty highly touted in recent years?
Yeah, hard to say. Hard to pick one over the other. Obviously, Jennings getting the opportunity right now. But if this doesn't work out for Jonathan Jennings, things don't go well this week and the rest of the season, we could start to see him fade from the picture. He may have trouble getting that opportunity to be a starter again come 2020. James Franklin's going to get another opportunity to be a starting quarterback in this league. It may not be in Toronto with the Argos. It seems like that story is winding down with McLeod Bethel-Thompson possibly being the guy for 2020, or maybe Jim Popp or whoever ends up being in charge there in Toronto ends up getting one of these young quarterbacks who could be out there. James Franklin, the best thing for him is to sort of hit that reset button. He needs to reinvent himself, take some time, and rebuild himself up. Be a backup quarterback. Take the pressure off yourself. Level the expectations a little bit, and then find a coaching staff that trusts you to the point where you can eventually take over and get that second opportunity to be a starter.
That's what Franklin has in front of him. That's the opportunity. The last thing I'll say about the Jennings situation is, for Jennings, this is absolutely, potentially, very likely his last chance at being a starter. It's also a must-win game for the Red Blacks. If they want to have any shot of being a playoff team, they need to win this game in BC. So we'll see how Jennings performs in that situation. Their opponent has been probably the biggest disappointment of the year. The BC Lions had such high expectations coming in, and they sit with just one win heading into week 14. Offensively, they seem to have struggled right from minute one. What have you seen of late? What are you observing right now with BC and their offense?
Well, there have been some changes, some tinkering there. Obviously, we know about the offensive line coach, Brian Chu, out. They're going to point to that and say, well, two sacks they gave up against the Montreal Alouettes, that's pretty good. That's improvement. Well, the Owls haven't exactly been a team getting a ton of pressure this season. They're near the bottom of the CFL in quarterback sacks, so that plays into it. The other thing I think we're seeing with the Lions offense is Jarius Jackson's taking a bit of a different approach as offensive coordinator. They're throwing shorter passes. They're getting the ball out of Mike Riley's hands a little bit quicker. I know everyone wants to blame the O-line there in BC and say, well, that O-line, it's letting guys through. Mike Riley's getting killed back there under so much pressure. Yeah, Mike Riley's been hanging on to the ball for a long time on a lot of plays this year. And in Edmonton, he could afford that time a little bit more. They've had a stellar O-line there. In BC, not so much. You add in some receivers that have maybe struggled to get that little bit of separation, and you have to think outside the box a little bit. You have to run more screens. You have to throw the ball to Brandon Rutley or John White out of the backfield, which they've been doing a little bit more lately. You have to find other ways to make up for Mike Riley being under the pressure he's been under. Last game, we saw it against Montreal. I think we'll continue to see that this week. That's why I think you'll see a pretty active Brandon Rutley in that BC Lions passing game this week at running back.
Jeff Creavers with us from CFL.ca. Week 14 of the season starts tonight in BC. The Lions and the Ottawa Redblacks. Then tomorrow, a doubleheader. We'll start with the second game and finish off with the first game. Let's go to the game between Saskatchewan and Montreal, which goes tomorrow night. Jordan Williams-Lambert back with the Rough Riders. What do we know about Williams-Lambert and his situation as Saskatchewan hosts Montreal tomorrow?
Well, it was an interesting one with the contract saga because he wanted to stay in the NFL and get another opportunity, but his contract situation dictated that if he didn't make the Bears, he had to come back to the CFL, and the Riders wanted him back. He ends up back in Sask. This is a really good young receiver. He came in as a rookie last season and looked like a physically dominant force for that Saskatchewan Rough Riders team that has some other young receivers developing alongside him. Shaq Evans is good. Kyra Moore is really fast. He's a small guy, figures in on returns as well. You add Jordan Williams-Lambert to that mix, all of a sudden they've got a young core of receivers that they could develop over the next few years and is not only talented now but has a chance to grow together and become one of the most talented in the CFL. So Jordan Williams-Lambert not going to play this weekend, doesn't make the roster. The Riders have some roster decisions ahead of them. Craig Dickinson said he doesn't want to alter the ratio necessarily. That means we may not see an All-American group of receivers there. Who comes out? Maybe it's Manny Arsenault. At this point, Arsenault, a leader there, hasn't been the most productive coming off that season-ending injury that he suffered last season. It's going to be really interesting, but they're going to make room for him. And that three-headed monster there, you add in the veteran ability and the proven ability of Naaman Roosevelt, you got a really good group of receivers to go along with a young quarterback in Cody Fajardo.
And what about on the Montreal side of things? A new receiver for them as Chris Matthews was acquired a few weeks ago. What do we know about Matthews and his status for this game tomorrow?
So Matthews gets on the roster. He is a backup right now to Jake Wynacki. But who knows? I don't know what their plans are for him. He could see some time on the field. I imagine they'll ease him into things. It's not like that receiving core has struggled without Chris Matthews. But I think down the road, not necessarily right away, I don't know if he'll make an impact as early as this week, but he has a chance to be a huge difference maker. I was a really big fan of this guy. As I know you were, Pat, when he came to Winnipeg. He's got a unique skill set that not many guys have because he's got the speed, but the physical dominance to put him in situations where you can't cover him one-on-one. And if you got a quarterback who's going to get him those jump balls and in those one-on-one battles, there aren't many defensive backs who are going to beat Chris Matthews to the football. Bombers didn't use him that way. In fact, they've really struggled to use their receivers in a traditional way this season. I believe they're ninth in the CFL this year in total passing output. I think, in Montreal with what Vernon Adams has done and that group of receivers. Matthews brings something really unique to that group. They've got a lot of guys, Quan Bray included as a new emerging receiver, who can get a lot of separation, who are really quick. I think Matthews is different. He's a different force that is going to give Kahari Jones just another option, some more weapons to play with, so to speak.
That's the game tomorrow between Saskatchewan and Montreal. The first game tomorrow is at McMahon Stadium, 2 o'clock kickoff here for what looks like a marquee matchup between the Hamilton Tiger Cats and the Calgary Stampeders. Jeff Craver from CFL.ca is with us. And Jeff, the Tiger Cats own the league's best record, yet they're not on top of the CFL.ca power rankings. What gives in that respect?
Yeah, we've been getting a little bit of flack over that, actually, for quite a while now, to be honest with you. A lot of people love to say, well, they've got the best record in the CFL. How can't they be the number one team? Well, it's not just the standings listed in order, for that matter. But no, it's no disrespect to the Ticats. They've been terrific this year. And overcoming injuries the way that they have, that's an impressive trait. I mean, that's worthy of a top spot on its own. It gets heated in our power rankings meetings. We put a lot of research and a lot of effort into these. They're not just throwing at the dartboard and seeing what sticks. And it's not just one person picking favorites. It's a pretty calculated movement. And it comes down to quality of opponent this year. That's been what's holding the Ticats back. They can't control it. But they did have a couple of close calls against struggling teams. They were trailing to the Argos for a while on Labor Day. They had two against the BC Lions that they were barely able to pull out, a game against the Red Blacks that was ugly. This is the week for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. If they can go into Calgary, they've never beaten Bo Levi Mitchell in his career. He's 11-0 against them. If the Ticats go in and win that game with Dane Evans at quarterback, I'm pretty sure they'll be number one in the power rank. Don't quote me on it, but it's going to be hard to keep them out of that spot. Hey, they deserve some respect. There's no doubt about it. There's no disrespect intended. Well, what Coach Orlando Steinauer has done with that team and the injuries they've had this year is nothing short of remarkable.
Now, they'll take on a Stampeders team that is playing some really good football, and this is a very interesting battle at receiver because you've got Brandon Banks, who's one of the most exciting players in the CFL, going up against Reggie Bagleton, who is really started to establish himself as one of the elite receivers, no questions asked, in this league. Those two go head-to-head. Bagleton's emerged as Calgary's top receiver. You know the Stampeders also have Eric Rogers. Kamar Jordan's back practicing again. This receiving crew in Calgary all of a sudden looking more and more formidable as the days go by.
It's fun. It really is in Calgary. It looks good. And in Hamilton as well, although Luke Tasker, they're waiting for him to get back in the lineup. But a lot of good pass catchers in this game. And you mentioned the 1-2 combos on each side. Your argument this week struck me because you talked about how Eric Rogers has had a lot of attention over the last couple of years. And it's been no secret how dominant of a receiver Eric Rogers is. My favorite moment with him was in the Western Final last year, when he was playing on a hobbled leg and still caught three touchdown passes to get the Stamps into the Grey Cup. Well, Reggie Bagleton, he's the top receiver in the CFL right now, leading in yards. You have him and Eric Rogers, they're going to play off each other, and that's what you said. And you can't focus all your attention on both those guys anymore. So it's a pick-your-poison sort of scenario for opposing teams, and you're not going to shut both of them down. That's just the reality. In fact, it's hard enough just to shut one of them down.
Well, and that's why, as we wrap things up on the CFL Fantasy Podcast this week, I went with Eric Rogers as my lock of the week. This seems like the type of game that he thrives in. Good defense, big stage. I think it's going to be a really defensive struggle, and that's when Rogers is at his best, because it might be a little bit more of a methodical game plan for the Stampeders, and Rogers is physical. He's great in the red zone, and I think Hamilton's going to focus in a big way in taking away Bagleton. So I'm looking for a big week from Eric Rogers. He's my lock of the week. What did you go with this week?
Well, just quickly, before I jump into that, watch out for Brandon Banks, too, because I know he's got a mountain-sized chip on his shoulder. And he kind of called out the CFL Twitter account this past week for pointing out, hey, Reggie Bagleton's the number one in receiving yards. And they did that after Banks was coming off a bye. Well, we always do that on Twitter. We point out the receiving leaders. But when he plays with a chip on his shoulder, which is most of the time, he puts up big numbers. So I'm looking for him, knowing he's going up against Reggie Bagleton. He's got something to prove. It's personal for Brandon Banks this week. My lock of the week, Banks, a little expensive, a little pricey in CFL fantasy. My lock is William Stanback. He's just such a phenomenal running back. And this is a week where a lot of fantasy players, they're looking at some of those cheaper backs. Even in Hamilton, you got Jackson Bennett coming in there cheap. Kadeem Carey's a little bit cheaper. Brandon Rutley in BC. I'm going to go with the high-priced back. Not as many people can afford to get him in the lineup, but I think he's going to eat against the Riders. He's going to get the ball a ton on the ground through the air, and this is the most talented running back in the CFL. To me, there's no doubt. Unbelievable player, William Stanback for the Alouettes. I'm looking for him this weekend.
Good stuff, Jeff. We'll talk to you again next week. Enjoy the games.
Sounds great. Thanks, Pat.